I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
To the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
And I'm Jesse Hitt.
And today is September 28th, Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. We missed last week. No,
we did.
No episode. I was out of town.
Well, we played the episode interview.
Oh, shit. Right. Okay.
With
the Kanto Boys.
The Kanto Boys.
Nice.
That's their new name.
Yeah.
At Kanto Boys.
Kanto Crew.
Also Kanto Squad. At Kanto Squad. There you go. Yeah. Crew. They should just get all of those names for Instagram.
Yeah.
There's already at Kanto Comic.
Yeah.
I wonder if just at Kanto was already taken.
I bet somebody's last name is Kanto. Or that's like a nickname or a contraction of their first and last name.
At Cannot.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So they're going to be at New York Comic Con if you guys are in New York and listening to this weekend. So go check them out. They have like 8 billion covers for that comic now.
Yeah, that's right.
It's pretty cool. They got a lot of fan artists that just love the comic and are doing really cool new different covers for
nice.
It. So go buy that comic because it's awesome. And listen to the interview because
yeah.
It was great.
Very informative and insightful and fun.
Yes.
Two very cool guys.
They are very cool guys. Yeah, so go listen to that and pick up Kanto.
Yeah.
And listen to this today.
Yeah, listen. Continue to listen because if you're listening right now,
yeah.
Then you can hear what we're saying.
It's true.
And keep listening.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good idea.
Jesse, what do you have going on? You have shows and stuff?
Yeah, I got a bunch of shows coming up. I'm trying to get a Kung Fu movie night going at the Alamo Draft House in San Francisco on a regular basis.
Kung Fu night.
Yeah, it'd be fun, right?
Are you going to watch Kung Fu movies?
Yeah.
Okay,
and
cool.
And do like a little fun themed stuff and do some like Rocky Horror Picture Show type stuff
Hell
where
yeah.
we hand out little nunchucks and stuff.
What?
And, yeah.
Dude, that sounds
do
dangerous.
Some fun banter beforehand.
Feel like you're going to poke somebody's eye out.
Yeah, I did a Shaun of the Dead screening and they gave us those inflatable bang sticks, you know, that you bang together like
they
have in sports games.
Did anybody poke their eye out?
No. But it
That's
was
good.
Fun banging them together during scenes where zombies are getting beat up.
Nice.
I forgot how much I like that movie.
Oh, yeah, it's a great movie.
So good.
Yeah, we play that at the brewery all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, ahead of its time, 2004.
That was 2004?
Yeah, 15 years ago. That's crazy, right?
15 years
yeah.
ago?
Also,
God.
Not even one of the top 20 highest grossing zombie movies of all time.
Really?
It gets beat out at the box office by no less than 4 Resident Evil movies.
No way.
Which, I guess...
The fourth one?
Yeah. I mean, we already knew that like commercial success isn't necessarily an indicator of quality, but that really highlighted it for me. Jesus Christ, people.
I just rewatched the first Resident Evil movie, mm-hmm. which I think is okay. It's not
totally,
like
yeah.
it's not bad, but the effects do not hold up.
Yeah.
They're like super cartoony.
Yep.
Like the tongue monster, whatever the fuck. Creeper, is that
That's
what they're
right.
called?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that. Anyways, yeah, it just... Oh, man, it looks so fake. Like, you could put, like, Roger Rabbit in there, and it would look better.
Yeah. The Matrix is kind of the same way. The Matrix, the effects really don't hold up currently.
You know, I just rewatched The Matrix again in theaters in, like, a Dolby Digital.
Yeah.
It was, like, the 30th reunion or something. 25,
yeah.
25 years did that?
Yeah, maybe. 20, 25?
No, it was 20 years.
Okay.
It came out in 2000 or something.
Yeah,
anyways,
yeah.
whatever. Yeah, it was the 20th anniversary. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Ugh, by the way, that came out in 1999.
Yeah, that is crazy.
And yeah, so we went to that at the AMC and they did the Dolby Digital and it actually looked really great.
Really?
In theaters.
Okay. Maybe digital is what it, because like,
I think
it looks,
that's what it did.
Looks
they probably,
corny on
I
my
bet
TV.
They cleaned it up
yeah.
for the re-release.
Yeah.
And I was impressed. I laughed the whole time
mm-hmm, sure.
at Keanu Reeves,
yeah.
who they could not clean up his acting.
No.
Unfortunately. But everyone else was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still held up. I would never watch the sequels again, though.
Yeah, that's true. Shaun of the Dead in 70mm was tight.
Oh, that's cool. It was
yeah,
in 70mm,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, yeah,
that's awesome.
Pretty rad.
We're going to try to do something at Ghost Town.
Yeah.
As well, something like that. We have to pick the perfect movie, though.
Yeah.
So it has to be something like we want to take down like real hard.
Yeah, and it's bad but fun bad.
Yeah, it's not
just difficult to watch and boring.
Yes. So if you guys have any suggestions, also something we won't get in trouble about.
That was screening. One of the big obstacles we're running into with the Kung Fu Night is like what they can get the rights to show.
Right.
It's much more complicated than I thought.
It is. It really is.
I would have thought it would just be, I don't know, maybe like a uniform process where you just pay a flat fee to whatever the studio is and they let you screen it. But no.
I think as long as you don't charge, you're okay.
Yep.
But there is some loopholes you can go through. But
yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, if anybody has any suggestions of things you'd like to watch or hear us talk about or talk shit on, please tweet to us or Instagram to us at Capus Comics and let us know.
Yeah. I've also been going back through a lot of the mullet era Superman lately. The Superman Unchained, Superman Aliens, Superman versus Aliens. He had
a good mullet. The John Byrne Superman, Man of Steel, he had a pretty good mullet.
Yeah.
And some Jerry Curl as well.
Which makes kind of sense as Superman, but as Clark Kent, the sort of button-up, clean-cut reporter, party out back would not make as much sense with that guy.
I don't think so.
You think there would be questions around the newsroom
about why
Clark Kent has like a Ronnie James Dio. No, I guess Dio had long hair, huh?
Yeah, he had long hair.
He had the sick, like, bald on top and then long around the sides look. Oh, man. I miss that look so much.
I do not miss that look.
I saw a lot of that. I went to see Bob Seger at Shoreline on Thursday.
Yeah.
And there was some very good haircuts and some very good facial hair.
Oh, I'm sure there was.
Some very fun, like, 90s rock tattoos. A lot of bad scorpion tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
Scorpions and spiders all over the place. And like, I bet they were shitty ones.
Yeah, real faded.
Ooh, yeah, like light green and like splotchy. Oh, man.
Just dripping down the arm. Just like spreading out all over the place.
Real bad.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. But it was nice to see
a
whole bunch of like white dudes in camouflage baseball hats getting together for like nice reasons.
Yeah, that is nice.
Not to scream about immigrants and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it's cool. Everybody's just having a good time. And just zero black people.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's why I went up to Portland. It was
not
the same thing.
Not a diverse crowd at the Bob Seger show, but you know.
That is true. when I went to Portland for Rose City Comic Con, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
It was like Oakland, but just as dirty.
Yep.
Lots of tents also up there.
Yeah.
More trees and all white people.
Yeah.
I was like, why do people want to move up
here? It's weird. Austin's the same way. Like anytime there's like a cool new city, that feels a little bit coded to me for it's a place where a lot of white people are moving.
Right. Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah.
And then like, I have people that I know that moved up there and they're like, I made a mistake.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And then it rains too, like a lot as well.
Yeah.
And like none of those things seem appealing to me.
Yeah.
Oh, and the beer wasn't as good.
Yeah. And cost of living is pretty comparable now. It used to be cheaper, but has gotten steadily more expensive.
Yeah, that's why there were tents everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Portland. You didn't impress me.
Yeah. C+B- city.
Yeah. I liked coming back here.
Yeah.
Rent is still expensive, and there's just as many tents.
Yeah. I think the East Bay really is the best place in the world.
Yeah. That's why everyone keeps coming back.
Yeah. I've never lived anywhere that I liked more.
Not me either.
It's my favorite place I've ever lived, for sure.
I like New York.
Yeah.
But I hate the winters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, read some comics this
week,
too.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Not as many as I would have liked.
Yeah, I know.
It's been a busy week.
Stupid busy weeks.
Yeah.
But let's see. Let's break down the ones we actually read together. We'll talk about the sexy one.
Okay,
first.
Let's do number one because it's kind of hard to find also.
It is.
And semi-controversial now.
Yeah.
It's Safe Sex Number One.
Or SFSX. They had to call it that, too, so people would buy it.
Oh, really? Because you can't have sex in the title?
I mean, totally can, but like not at some stores.
Yeah, sex criminals, I guess. There was the Joe Casey one that was just called Sex.
It was literally just called Sex.
Is that
yeah.
still coming out?
No, okay. That's concluded. Yeah.
This was, Safe Sex Number One, written and created by Tina Horn. Funny, the appropriately named because it's a very horny comic. drawn and colored by Michael Dowling.
Yeah, and so Tina Horn is a sex writer.
Oh, like a columnist or like a blogger or something?
No, she writes sexy books.
Oh, like erotic novels?
Erotic, yeah. Sorry, okay. That's what I meant.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I could pick that up from her writing style a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Good writer, yeah. I think.
Although I will say the book was a little wordy.
Yeah.
A little more than I expected. Not necessarily a bad way, but I just, it was unexpected.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also has a great cover by...
Who's that?
Oh, by Tula Lote.
Tula Lote?
Yeah,
nice.
My favorite. Yeah. My favorite cover artist, for sure. Just one of my favorite artists in general. And she loves doing a sexy cover.
Yep, she sure does.
She does not shy away from
She's got a very horny Instagram sometimes.
Yeah, she does.
She goes through phases where, like, she won't post anything for a long time.
Yeah.
And then it feels like she'll ease in by posting some, like, sexy pics.
Oh, yeah.
And then just a bunch of regular ones. Yeah. And then she'll kind of, like, drop off for a little while longer.
Yep. I think she just gets real busy.
Yeah.
She has to run her entire con that she does in.
Ooh, right.
Yeah. Which is coming up, actually.
That was, yeah. It was...
I want to go to Thought Bubble.
Oh, that's hers?
That's hers,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Her real name is Lisa.
Lisa, and she goes by Tula Lote?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds cool.
It does sound way cooler. It
sounds like a Hawaiian word.
Yeah.
It's like Tula Lote is Hawaiian for palm tree or something.
Palm tree.
It's one of the, yeah. They have 40 different words for palm tree. And
well, you know what it means. I'll have to ask somebody about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just tweet her. What does your name mean? She's like, I can't tell you. It's a secret.
If you figure out the meaning of my name, I die.
Oh, like no. Or she does look like a fairy.
Oh, maybe you have to. She has to grant your wishes.
Oh, she's like Rumpelstiltskin?
Out the meaning of her name, yeah.
Yeah.
If you say it backwards 3 times, she has to grant you one wish. But beware what you wish for, because it's one of those things where you get the bad version of your wish.
She just sent me all her bad art instead?
Yeah, it's like a monkey paw thing.
Oh. You're
like, I wish to have...
That wouldn't be so bad.
$1 million, and then you get crushed by a billion pennies or something. Wait.
Oh.
How many million dollars would be?
Oh, my God. That would
100 million pennies, 100,
is that,
yeah.
Is that how many pennies
yeah,
it would
right?
be?
100 pennies and a dollar.
Probably like that. Dollars. That would, like, crush the building.
Yeah, then you would just die. But they'd be like, hey, you got your wish, idiot. Should have wished for something different. But this, I, you
okay,
know.
Yeah. All right.
I wish to go back to explaining what this book is about.
Me too.
So it's set in the present day or not too distant future, alternate reality. It's not super future. It's not in the past.
In San Francisco.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Takes place in San Francisco after a super conservative group has completely taken over the government. Sex is not, it's not illegal, but you do have to, like, fill out a bunch of paperwork and report on it.
Right.
You wear a monitoring device. If you get caught having, illegal style sex, which presumably, they don't really get into it, but I would guess that they probably are not super psyched about, like, gay people.
And outside of a marriage, I believe.
Oh, true. You do have to mass marriages.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's, like, implied that it's, they don't explicitly mention that it's, like, a religious cult, but it's, like, a morality thing, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And they've fully taken over the government. It's interesting the angle that they use is that, like, there's also a female leader, so they, like, kind of use that, like, fake feminism as a way to promote their hyper-conservative cause.
Mm-hmm.
And our main characters are a couple that were formerly sex workers at this, like, giant sort of underground sex club called the Dirty Mind in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Which catered to everyone who's, like, sex positive, you know, in this weird repressed society. And as such was, like, a very popular, it looks like it was a very popular, very well attended place.
Oh, yeah.
Gets raided by the cops. Yeah. They have to go on the run for a minute, and then they sort of settle down and lead a regular life in what is now, 3 years later, I guess, in San Francisco still.
Right.
And the former sex club has now been turned into a government office. Of called the Pleasure Center, where they regulate and monitor all sexual activity. The dude works for the Pleasure Center. The lady's currently unemployed and trying to find a job, but having a difficult time explaining the gap in her work history, where she was a full-time sex worker.
Right. I really enjoyed this book.
Me too.
I know that a lot of places aren't carrying it because of its imagery.
Yeah, which, we do get a pretty graphic and immediate sex scene. But I felt like it was, like, tasteful and reasonable, you know? It wasn't, like, pornographic, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a very explicit, I guess, part in the beginning. But it was to show that they were sex workers and that it was a sexual club. And, like, I don't think that it was over the top.
Yeah, and there are sections of Saga that are as graphic or more so than what happened in the first issue of this, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why people are like going over the top about it. Like,
and it eventually turns into, it looks like it's going to eventually turn into a, not a crime, but like a mystery detective. So towards the end of the first issue, the husband gets arrested. They raid the house. They get arrested for like having like a sex toy.
And yes.
Unreported sex. And the wife comes home to find a bunch of government suits in her apartment. She goes on the run. She fights one of them off with a high heel, pokes him in the eye with it.
Yeah.
And now it looks like she's going back to her old, the dirty mind, the new version of the dirty mind, which is further underground than it used to be.
Yeah.
Going to enlist the help of her old sex partners to try to get her husband back.
Yeah.
And it's implied also that the sex community turned against her because her and her husband escaped when the place was raided, which made people suspect that maybe they were the ones that ran out. Maybe they talked. And it's implied that the leader, the main person who ran the sex club that everybody loved, maybe got killed in the raid or was put on trial and executed and sounds like is no longer with us.
Yeah. And I'm going to guess that's not the case, but we'll
see. I hope not.
Also, if you're like a fan of Bitch Planet or Sex Criminals or like books like that, I think you're really going to enjoy this book. And the art kind of reminds me a little bit of Sean Phillips.
Yeah, totally.
The coloring too, of Brett Weiser, like all of that. So I think if you like Brubaker, like all of that, that style of book really reminds me of that. So I think this is definitely going to be a hit.
They use the color palette is really cool, too.
Yeah, like, the colors are
great.
The
outside world is like sort of gray and beige and boring. And then you go in the sex club and it's like fluorescent and cool.
Neons.
And I really like they do a good job setting the mood using the color palette.
Yeah, I loved the colors in this book.
Yeah.
They did a great job. So I gave this 2 thumbs up.
Yeah, sexy without being gross.
Exactly.
Like using human sexuality as a plot element, but not being, you know, over the top or like salacious or like I said, like not pornographic about it.
No,
or anything.
It's normalized.
Yeah, that's the word. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just what people do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also reflecting a little bit political in that they're sort of reflecting the current environment where conservatism is resurgent. And in this, like, sort of like Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
Or
what if Mike Pence got a hold of the White House?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah.
Well, that might happen pretty soon. We'll people are like excited about that too.
I know. Like, I don't know. Well, at least it wouldn't be for long, hopefully. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe.
President Bernie will save us off. We'll all be
Bernie!
Free birth control. It's going to be tight.
Oh, please, God, let that happen. I just went to the gynecologist. Oh, I know. Yeah, so and they told me that my birth control would only be covered for 25%. I'd have
that sucks.
25%.
God damn, man.
Yeah. It's really expensive, guys.
Yeah.
President Bernie, save us all.
Yeah, anyway. Or maybe President Warren and Vice President Sanders would be
okay either
too.
One. I'd take either. Yeah. Like, please, God. Please, one of them save us.
Oh, I'm going to have a root canal pretty soon. I'm got a little tooth tenderness, and I'm dreading going into the dentist because it's like...
My teeth, I don't even get into my teeth besides all of mine. I need like 4 root canals.
Yeah. And
so.
There's so many shady dentists out there. I didn't know that.
Whatever
One
you
of my
do,
friends just
don't
got,
go
like,
to Western
hoodwinks.
Dental.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Chain? Ooh, yeah.
No. They've destroyed my teeth.
Yeah.
This is why I need 4 root canals. Yeah. So.
I'm thinking about just going dentures. Just go full dentures. Let's just get it all over with.
Oh, I would do that.
I'll get some cool gold ones. It'll be tight.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'll get some vampire ones for Halloween. It'll be dope.
I want to move to Canada or Norway or one of them that has full healthcare. I would pull all of my teeth out and get all full implants.
Yeah.
I would do that in a second.
Yeah.
I would just like stay inside for 6 months.
Yeah, why not?
Until...
Do it during the winter when it sucks outside anyway.
Oh, yeah, totally. Ugh. Canada.
Seems like a nice place.
I dream of Canada. Do you want to go through House of X or do you want to do Harleen
first? Oh, do you want to do Harleen next?
Yeah, let's do Harleen.
We both read it.
Yeah.
The new DC Black Label book, Harleen, written and drawn, I think, by Shep and Shach.
I think it's Steven.
I think it's close to getting it right with the Shach.
Is it?
That's what I read somewhere.
Really?
Was there a
pronunciation for it?
But he said say it like Sage, but with an S-H.
His first name or his last name?
His last name.
Oh, Sajic?
Sajic.
Sajic.
That's what the little thingy over the S means, that you kind of like shishify it.
Oh, I didn't even know there was that thingy.
The little pointy, yeah.
The little,
and the one over accent. The C. Yeah, the one over the C means you chud up a little bit.
Shut it up.
But yeah, man, he draws it. Does his wife color it maybe?
Probably.
No, just straight up him.
He's doing
story and art.
That's awesome.
Cover and variant cover.
Well, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
and
it really is,
we got shorted.
Man.
12 copies.
That sucks.
Which really sucks.
He's so talented.
He's so good.
And sometimes I forget that a little bit because he gets, well, okay, it, you know, like he gets caught up in writing all those horny books, which not really what I'm into. Like,
no, and those are, like, we were talking about, like, sex, but they, I mean, they are sex positive.
Sure, yeah,
but everyone
totally.
Kind of looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's my one thing with yep. his. He has a definite style for yeah. ladies that he wants to draw. And, like, yeah. well, so that's, whatever.
It was cool seeing him draw, like, a variety of different people, a variety
right.
of faces. He got yeah. some cool action sequences in. He draws Batman. He draws the bat plane at one point in a way that looks very dope.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit reminiscent of the way Nick Dragotta draws all the aircraft in, what's it called?
East of West.
Yeah. Yeah, with the kind of the feathered wings and stuff. Also, the looks like how the Wakandan like fighter planes look in current Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. And he draws old Harley.
He does, yeah. There's a panel.
Thank you.
And a very handsome Joker, too.
He is a very
just
handsome
like,
Joker.
All right, I get it.
Yeah.
And the Joker's henchmen look good. Yeah, just everything about this comic looks awesome.
Yeah. And so this is an origin story
mm-hmm.
of Harley. And so it's when she's still Harlene.
Yep.
Quinzel, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And she's in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, and we meet her before that when she's like a psychologist or maybe a psychiatrist because she does talk about doing pharmaceutical stuff.
Yes.
So, but she's like studying her. We meet her when she's interviewing a guy who ended up being like a war criminal who like blew up this hospital because her area of specialty is studying how people's sense of empathy erodes as they're exposed to more and more like violence and tragedy and stuff.
Right.
And how to maybe prevent that. So to prevent people from completely losing their sense of empathy and becoming violent sociopaths.
Right.
So she's doing great work, you know?
Yeah.
And having a real tough time with it because
yes.
it's not profitable work. And
no.
that's what's fucking her up.
Yeah. And then eventually she does meet Joker.
Yeah.
yeah.
Coincidentally, as she was walking home after a particularly tough presentation that she didn't think went well, she gets sort of caught in the middle of one of the Joker and Batman's conflicts.
Yeah.
And there's a really cool scene where they have a... Joker, Batman has sort of dispatched all of Joker's henchmen and is going after Joker himself, and they're fighting in this sort of lowered like pit area, and a bunch of passersby have sort of gathered around, and everybody's like cheering on Batman, but in a way that they're clearly sort of reveling in the violence, and she gets caught up in it a little bit as well.
Yeah, and it actually like, ends up like exciting her.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah. And that's like kind of where it starts for her. She gets like really excited by it and ends up like haunting her.
Mm-hmm. She's having weird dreams, some PTSD stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets hired by, what's his name? Lucius. The head of Wayne Scientific.
Yeah, Fox.
Lucius Fox.
Yeah.
Comes and finds her and is like, hey, Bruce Wayne is interested in your work and we want to fund it because Bruce Wayne wants to reduce crime, obviously.
Right.
And so she gets to go to Arkham and interview all of the super duper villains.
Right.
And we get a nice little Shades drawing a bunch of cool Batman villains.
Yes.
Get a little Killer Croc in like a straight jacket and a muzzle, which is pretty tight.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, that was really cool that he got to like draw a little bit of everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when she meets him again. And I really like this little scene where she's like, oh, he's not even going to remember me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And Poison Ivy's there. That's when she meets Poison Ivy for the first time. And
I love that version of Poison Ivy where she has kind of greenish skin and red hair. That's tight.
And Mad Hatter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little bit of everybody. And that's when she like really starts going mad too. And I like so I really like this origin story because it doesn't like over-sexualize Harley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not doing that whole Suicide Squad thing where she's like a stripper.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Who just immediately falls in love with the Joker.
Yeah.
He's so twisted.
Yeah. And like he really just gets into her head this way.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have kind of like this shared like PTSD like story too. I really enjoyed this first issue.
Is this pretty much accurate to her previous, like her current... like in canon origin story, do you know? Because I don't really know much about the character. Like I only remember her from the Batman cartoon.
Yeah, well, that's what it's closer to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, is Mad Love.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Is that the Paul Dini one?
Yeah.
Or Bruce? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sweet. I think
Paul Dini
read that
and Bruce Tim.
Yeah,
they wrote that together. And that this is way close to that.
Yeah.
Which I love that story.
Yeah.
And that's more accurate to what she should be portrayed.
I like that where they're more partners and it's less of the Joker controlling Harley, less of her being his sidekick and more of them having sort of a mutual relationship.
Well, and she does get obsessed with him and that's what happens though. And he controls her through that obsession.
Yeah.
And it does become abusive eventually. And that's how it should be played out, too.
Yeah, true.
You know?
Not romanticized. Yeah.
Which is what it becomes in Suicide Squad and, like, in a lot of the comics, too. And then she gets, like, over-sexualized. Yeah. And then you see little five-year-olds wearing those little outfits at Comic-Con. And then you want to burn your eyes out.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is that parent thinking? Sorry. So Harleen, two thumbs up. We have two more issues coming out, too.
Cool. They're going to do a three-issue one and then release as a hardcover like they did with Batman Damned. And, like, are they doing that with everything? Oh, have you read the... I think we've talked about it a little bit, but the Superman, the Frank Miller Superman?
Woo!
Fuck.
Oh, it's man.
Like, comically bad.
It's how they released that.
Yeah.
I do not know.
Clark Kent becoming a Navy SEAL?
Yeah, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. Oh, and then Batman Damned, you know, they censored it, right?
Oh, did they for the hardcover?
All right.
Well,
so now that number one's worth a pretty penny.
Nice. I think I might have one of those.
Yeah, I think you do, too. Maybe, I know I have one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I got the Jim Lee cover that I wanted, but I think I did get
the... I have the regular cover, too, but keep that in nice shape.
Yeah, it's weird because it really, I guess, Batman's penis wasn't, like, important for the plot, but it also wasn't gratuitous or... You know?
No, it wasn't throbbing.
Pulling it and editing it out makes it more, draws more attention to it than
I think
is necessary.
Which,
I guess increased the value of it. So
sure did. Yeah. Because they never reprinted it either, remember?
Yeah.
So just those first prints.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And the other Black Label ones aren't the oversized three issue, right? Like they're doing the Dark Knight thing.
Yeah, they're doing a Dark Knight. Those aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just all turn those to Black Label, I think, because they're like, it's darker.
Yeah. Do we know yet if the Wonder Woman one that Daniel Warren Johnson's doing is going to be the oversized?
Those are going to be.
Fucking better be.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, he deserves an oversized book.
Yeah, totally.
So I think it will be, but I will keep my listening ears open. Yeah. But I'll let you know.
Looking
and I'm sure Justin will know, so I will ask him. Okay, we'll do House of X really quick and then some news. Yeah. All right, so we've been a little behind on House of X. Oh yeah, it's 5:17. House of X. So let's try to catch up really quick.
Okay.
Let's just go through these timelines. So the last we left off, I think, was like Powers of X number 4, maybe.
Yeah, I think
maybe. So
we
basically,
Maura McTaggart is her power is that she remembers things from her past life after she is reincarnated. Oh boy,
right. Yeah, so I think that was Powers of X 3 or House of X 3, one of those.
And we know that she's on her final life, but we don't know why or how she knows that.
Right. Well, we do.
Oh.
No, that was from that psychic or the telepath, whatever the hell she was.
Right.
That mutant. Okay, so in Powers of X 4, if you guys are catching up or still reading, don't listen to this because I'm going to spoil everything for you.
Yeah.
That's when, so Professor X goes to Bar Sinister.
Nice.
And land, I guess, basically, is where he is.
Hell yeah. Because we know that Mr. Sinister was put in charge of the mutant cloning, the selective breeding project.
Right. Yes. So in the X-Men Year One, that's where he's hanging out. So Professor X goes to him. Him and Magneto are all teamed up, and they go to Bar Sinister and ask him for his, like, gene program that he's been
made.
Because he has basically every gene from every mutant ever.
Okay, so all of the X genes, everything that controls a mutation.
Yes.
So they basically have, like, a library of all the different powers that they can then combine any way they want.
Yep.
Potentially.
Yes. Because remember, our Sinister, what's his powers? He can reproduce.
Yeah, right, himself. Right. He can clone.
Over and over and over again. So if they combine his powers with all of the mutant genes, they could just repopulate every mutant.
Oh, yeah.
Across the world ever, because what they're trying to do is repopulate.
Yeah, all currently mutants have been wiped out by the government.
And yeah, mostly. Genosha and Scarlet Witch and all of those things that have happened. So it's kind of crazy when you think about it. Like, Hickman is basically trying to rebuild, like, all of what happened.
Yeah.
To the X-Men with all the shitty things that they've done. Yeah. It's insane.
He really is, going for, like, a full reboot.
He really is. Cool. But he's explaining everything instead of being like, hey, guys, like, I'm just going to do this thing and I'm not going to tell you about any of the things that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, yeah. So he did that. And that was really cool. I was just like, what the fuck? Oh, my God. That's his big plan. But he's actually telling us what he's going to do. And then we go to House of X 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so. Oh, that's Powers of X5. House of X5. So, House of X5, there's a big... Okay, so in the back, remember we talked about the timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you that little reveal. So, House of X2 was one of those red issues.
Yep.
House of X5 is also one of the red issues, which means that something big
big
is
reveal.
Happening. Big reveal.
Ah, cool.
Yes. So, in this issue... Apocalypse is hanging around.
Oh, the original Alpha Mutant.
Right. So he's been hanging out. And there's that, again, the big reveal is basically that he's going to be teaming up with Professor X and the whole thing with Bar Sinister is revealed, and that they are recloning and repopulating the original X-Men.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Every time. So no one will ever die.
Yeah.
Ever again.
Yeah. But will they have the memories of their previous selves?
Because of Moira
with
Haggard.
Oh, shit. Right. They get her gene. Oh.
It's crazy.
Whoa. So now every mutant is now immortal.
Yes.
Sort of.
Yep.
Or that's the idea, at least. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah. It's crazy. And I don't want to... But there's a lot more in this issue, too, and I don't want to, like, spoil all of it for everybody, because everyone needs to read this comic, because, like, I read this issue, and I literally got chills. I was like, holy shit, Hickman, my God, how did you even think of this? It's so crazy. There's this whole thing on, like, you know, he does those text pages of Resurrection.
Yep. Which is great, because it's like, feels like you do really get your money's worth with these issues. Like, for $4.99, you get, like, three comics worth of information in each issue.
So there was that X-Men Fabio Medina, who's Gold Balls, who everyone thought was the dumbest X-Men ever.
He could literally just make gold balls and throw them,
right?
And bounce around and make a force field around himself.
Yeah.
And...
So Hickman took him and he was like, yeah, this guy's real dumb. Mm-hmm. Instead, he decided to change his powers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, no, they're not gold balls. They're eggs.
Oh.
So he brought him in and he says... a mutant capable of producing a limitless amount of unviable biological eggs.
Okay.
Then he combines them with Kevin McTaggart, who's Proteus.
Yeah.
A mutant capable of warping reality and transforming an viable egg into a viable one.
Oh, so that's why all the mutants are hatching from those little eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And then he combines them with Joshua Foley, who's Elixir, a mutant capable of biologically kickstarting the process of life, initializing a cell replication and husk growth.
Cool.
And then he puts that with Ava Bell, who's Tempest, a mutant capable of temporarily maturing a husk to a desired age. And then Hope Summers, a mutant capable of enhancing and synergizing the other resurrection mutants' powers to ensure the success of each resurrection.
Cool.
So, yes.
That's fun. That's such a fun idea, like being able to combine multiple mutant powers within one mutant entity.
Yep. It's nuts.
Nice.
So, dude. Yeah, it's actually explaining how people are coming back from the dead, which nobody has ever done before.
Yeah,
ever.
in a way that, like, makes sense within the context of this universe.
Exactly.
They always use some kind of, like, magic, or they're like, oh, we discovered a pit, you know, like the Lazarus pit thing.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Oh, but we don't really know how it works, and we're not going to explain it.
Yeah. But he actually, like, found, like, a fake scientific, but scientific mutant reason to bring them all back.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Nuts. All right. So anyways, read those comics. They're
yes,
so good.
Keep up with them and read them in the proper reading order.
Yeah. All right. Let me have
a little
some time.
News real quick?
Yeah. We
you
have like
time?
6 minutes for okay. some news.
Spider-Man's back. That's the number one. Yeah.
So that didn't take long. So when he finally caved.
Yeah.
I think Tom Holland was like, I'm not going to be in your movies.
Yeah.
He was like real serious about that.
Nice. Good for him.
Yeah. He stood up for Marvel because they were going to suck. Let's face it.
Yeah.
They're going to be real bad.
Is not good at making movies, really.
No, I mean, they made the Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah.
And that was good.
True.
But that wasn't live action.
Right.
I don't trust them.
Yeah.
Venom sucked.
Yeah, like, Venom was real bad. Yeah. And it had so many things going for it. I was just talking to somebody about that the other day. I think Tom Hardy was a good casting choice.
Yeah.
The Boston accent didn't make sense if you're trying to pitch him as like an aw shucks everyman from the Midwest. But if you make him like a guy from the East Coast, fine. The same character.
He was supposed to be from New York.
Right. Yeah. But like, I guess the original Eddie Brock was like a Midwestern guy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And then, great casting choice. Could have been a great Venom.
Yeah.
Cool that they brought in the cloning of the symbiotes and the government trying to use them as weapons and stuff. But without Spider-Man, Venom doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense at all. Yeah.
He needs the Spider-Man relationship to make him bond with Eddie Brock and say Eddie Brock and Peter Parker have the rival, you know, everything. Yeah. You know, and for his power set to make sense and him to have sort of spider-like abilities also and a scary spider logo on him.
I also didn't believe him as a journalist.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like,
Eddie Brock doesn't make sense as a freelance. I mean, maybe as like a stringer, like one of those like action guys or something.
That would make sense.
Who like used to be a stuntman and then he like got injured or something and then he like is now
look, that book
a fearless
writes itself,
action
Jesse.
Photographer.
Writes
that makes
itself.
Sense. They never explain why he's so jacked either. Like that dude has to really work out all the time.
We just
have to eat so much and probably do steroids. That's, you know, it's not a big secret that Tom Hardy did a bunch of steroids to get ready for that, you know, all the movies where he's super buff.
Totally. So I'm sure there'll be a Spider-Man Venom Carnage movie at some point.
Thank God, man. a Tom Holland, Tom Hardy Spider-Man Venom movie.
That
would be
so funny.
Good.
It would probably be really fun.
Yeah.
James Gunn would be good for that, too.
Ooh, yeah.
Speaking of James Gunn, mm-hmm. I love his tweet. Okay, Suicide Squad, don't get too attached. That's his tweet. And there's like a million names on this post.
Yeah.
If the tweet would come up. Okay. Dast McMillan?
Don't know who that is.
Okay, I don't know who that is there. John Cena.
Nice.
Jai Courtney. Mm-hmm. Joaquin Cosio. Nathan Fillion. Joel Kinnaman. Mai Ling Na.
Ooh.
Yeah. Nice. Flora Borg. Sean Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Diego Bato. Storm Reed. Pete Davidson. Isn't his life a mess right now?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, who's he going to be? Taika Waititi.
Nice.
Sorry.
Hell yeah.
Alice Braga. Steve Agee.
Steve Agee?
Yeah.
As a member of the Suicide Squad. Yeah. Oh, it'll be like when Rob Delaney was in Deadpool briefly.
Oh, yeah.
God,
some of these names are really hard. Tina Shee. Kajisi?
Don't know who that is.
Daniela Melchior. Mm-hmm. Peter Capaldi.
Oh, wow.
Julio Ruiz. Excuse me. Jennifer Holland. Viola Davis. Idris Elba. Margot Robbie. And Michael Rooker.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is an interesting strategy for a filmmaker to just be like, hey, you know, to just approach a ton of actors and be like, it'll be an easy one-day shoot. You'll get paid out pretty well because it's like a DC movie. So why not? You know, it'll be fun. It'll be easy. You'll get to be in a superhero movie. It won't tarnish your image as an actor because you're not one of the main characters. And it's obviously, you know, you're just sort of being in there as a gag.
Right.
So, you know, it's not going to fuck up your career in any way.
Nope. And I'm just glad that he's doing the movie now. It's gonna
be
maybe
this one will be good.
So much better. It's got to be, right?
It has to be better, for sure.
It has to be better.
It could be shitty, but still better than the previous one.
God, right?
It was like D+ shitty instead of F- shitty.
Yeah. Also, in TV news, I know neither of us really watch those DC shows because they're not very good anymore.
Yeah, Doom Patrol was good, but that's, yeah.
Yeah, the one oh, I'm talking about, CW, I'm sorry, I should have specified. Oh. CW.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. Of course.
But Brandon Routh is to reprise his role as Superman.
Cool.
But he's going to be the Justice Society Superman.
Yeah, because now he's adult age. He's like in his 30s. And
I think he's in his 40s.
Wow, for real?
But he looks really young.
Yeah, yeah, he always looked very young in Smallville. Yeah.
Oh, no, you're thinking of Tom Welling.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Who will also be, you know who Brandon Routh is from Superman Returns.
Oh, okay, that guy. Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
There's a lot of Supermans. It's very confusing.
Right, okay. I was thinking Smallville Superman.
They do look kind of similar, though. Yeah. They both have the same swipey black haircut. Mm-hmm,
you got it. It's a big Clark, right? Yeah.
Tom Welling's like 8 feet tall, though.
Right,
and
yeah.
And Brandon Routh is like, they look weird next to each other. I wonder if one of them has to stand on a box.
Yeah, like, maybe. Or some, the tall guy has to stand in a hole, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Just stand in this manhole.
A full-time person on set just digging holes for him to stand in.
Brandon Routh, though, has been filmed or photographed in the Alex Ross, like, Justice Society suit.
Is that the one that's, like, super bright primary colors?
Yes.
Okay, sick.
Yeah.
Like
the black on the suit.
Yeah. Yep. Nice.
On the S. It's really cool looking. Yeah, and then, so, Tom Welling will also be reprising his role as Clark Kent. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll be in the Superman outfit, but in the very last episode of Smallville, he did finally get to don the Superman outfit.
Nice.
Yeah. So, we'll see. I am excited. I will watch that one episode.
Yeah.
Crossover. Give it a chance. Give it a shot. Because I just can't stand Arrow.
Yeah.
Also, well, there was something else. What else were we going to talk about? I don't know.
Let's see. What other movie news has there been? I'm trying to think. The other Spider-Man was Madame Web's getting her own movie for some reason.
For some reason, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Has she ever been a popular character?
No. She's had like 6 appearances, maybe.
Literally.
Like, she's very much... And it kind of doesn't, like, she's a spider, but also she has psychic powers. Like, I'm not even sure what her deal is, other than she wears that blindfold and looks scary.
She wears a blindfold because she's blind, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, that seems like it would be unnecessary.
Yeah, I know.
She already can't see.
She already can't see.
Oh, maybe it's because...
She has scary eyes.
Yeah, she's got those gross eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
But why? She's a
fair.
Villain. Why does she care?
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe
she's sensitive
to light.
Look scary. Oh, maybe so, yeah.
Yeah, I guess because... Is that a blind thing? I don't know. I feel very...
Know. It could be, I guess.
I guess.
If you still have light sensitivity.
I have to feel bad about saying, is that a blind thing?
Yeah. Is that part of blind culture? Is being sensitive to light still? Being good at piano and being sensitive to
being
light?
Good
is
at
that...
piano?
Yeah, like Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Just being good at instruments in general.
Yeah.
we were talking about earlier all the blind movies.
Yeah, your hearing is increased.
There's literally just a movie called Blind.
Yeah.
Blink is another one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it says originally created back in 1980 by Dennis O'Neill, also known as just Denny O'Neill.
Right.
John Romita Jr. Madame Web is an elderly clairvoyant woman due to a neuromuscular disease.
Okay.
Is connected to a life support system that looks like a spider web.
That
makes no sense.
I didn't know that's what that thing was. I thought she was just sitting in there because she wanted to be scary.
I thought so, too.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, that's her thing, I guess. Sure. Does it say anything else about her?
Yeah, why is she
connected
a bad
to
a
life
guy?
Support system? It looks like spider. But that's all it says. The report also names Palak Patel as Sony's overarching executive producer for the films, assuming a Kevin Feige-esque role for Sony's universe of Marvel characters.
All right.
That's all it says.
Huh.
I guess we need to find out more about Madame Web. I don't remember. Actually, we have her first appearance, so we'll just have to go look
it,
at
I guess,
it.
Yeah. see what's going on in there.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's not very good, I don't think. Anyways, they still have to make the Silver Sable and Black Cat movie.
Yeah, true.
I mean, they don't have to.
Well,
no one asked for
they would,
it.
Yeah.
No one asked for a Silver Sable movie.
Yeah. I do like heist movies, so maybe if it's one of those, then I'd be into it.
Well, they were supposed to be a joint movie,
right?
And then they split them into two.
Oh,
which I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think they need
to I'd for
that.
Sure watch if it was like an all around like fun heist movie, like Ocean's 11, but superhero. I'd be like, yeah, cool.
Yeah,
Ocean's 11, but within the Marvel
Silver
Cinematic Universe.
Sable's an assassin, though. And Black Cat is a thief.
Yeah, so maybe more like Heat.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
See, like, a more serious version. Yeah, I watched the shit out of that.
And they can, like, play off of each other. Like, one, you know, maybe Silver Sable's, like, trying to assassinate Black Cat or something. And or she's just trying to steal shit.
Yeah, or they're, like, working together and Silver Sable keeps killing people when Black Cat really just wants to steal the stuff. And they have, like, internal conflict about that.
Maybe. Or Black Cat steals from Silver Sable. And then she's just trying to kill her the rest of the time. Something like that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
We just write the movie and send it to them.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
If you got to be at work in 4 minutes, we can bang something out.
Totally. Ooh, I do have to go. A
couple pages.
All right, guys. That's it for today. Yep. I'm Jessica Balboni.
And I'm Jesse Hitt.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.